Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
If you would, bow your heads in prayer. Father, I could pray so many things. But in this moment, I just feel so led to just pray the name of Jesus all over this place. I just pray the strong name of Jesus on this place. Father, you never promised there would be no fires and no storms, but you did promise that you'd be with us every step of the way. So I thank you for that promise. I pray that you would be with my brother as he comes forth to share your word that you've laid on his heart. All he's done is make himself available to you, Lord, for you to work through him, speak through him, teach through him. And I pray that somewhere in this room, someone will step out of the light or out of the darkness and into the light. We pray for resurrection this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
By the way, Billy has a great bride. And it's her birthday. Hallelujah. Love you, Carol Walker. And there's birthday cake down here after the worship service if you'd like to partake. We have big old, Billy brought a big old sheet cake to celebrate her. And Carol, we love you and we appreciate you, sister. You have been such a blessing to my life and the life of this church. And I know what, yeah, go ahead. Well, he didn't celebrate my birthday. When you want to start taking over our discipleship and teach Sunday school and then work in the children's department and do 100 other things, then we'll sing your birthday, okay? All right. Thank you, Garrett. We love the Walkers. We love the Walkers. If you have a Bible this morning, be turning to Haggai. And those of you that are visiting with us, we're moving through the book of Haggai. We've got today's sermon and then one more next Sunday, and we'll be finished with the book of Haggai. I will tell you, I was so blessed. I don't know about anybody else, but in our revival meetings, your pastor has gotten revived. God's shown me some sin in my life, and he showed me where I really need his power and his presence in my life. And I recognize the fact this morning, I am not alone. And neither are you if you're a child of the King. And they gave us some anointing oil. Now, I know this isn't Baptist, but that's okay. Because anointing oil is all through the Scripture. And so Tuesday night, I poured half of this into another big bottle of oil. And I prayed over this oil. And over in the Old Testament, they would anoint kings with oil. And they would anoint other people for specific assignments. And then in your New Testament, oil was symbolic of the healing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I prayed over that oil, and there's nothing special about the oil. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit's work and his ministry. And by the way, there is an anointing in this place today. Because wherever the Spirit of Jesus is, hello. Now, y'all, if that crowd that was here Tuesday night had been here just now, just saying. All right. Haggai. We're going to be in verses, chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. And if you're taking notes and you've got the outline, I'll do my best to follow that this morning. Let me just give you a quick paragraph of about this pericope, this passage of Scripture. It's been 3 months, and the children of God are back at work. The work on the temple has resumed after being dormant for 16 years. The people of God have left Babylon, 50,000 Jews, and had come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city. And things were going according to what God wanted done. And on December the 24th, God gave Haggai his third message for the people. And on December the 24th of 520 B.C., are y'all with me? December 24th, I know what y'all are thinking. Christmas Eve. This has nothing to do with Christmas Eve. It's not a Christmas Eve message. But it has everything to do with God calling this great preacher Haggai to deliver the word of God to the people of God. And his message, I'm just going to give it to you up front. The title of his sermon was that obedience brings the blessing of God in your life. And I want to talk to you about the blessing of obedience this morning. And before we read the scripture, I want to say this. There are two mistakes, I think, that we make sometimes when trying to live an obedient lifestyle. Okay? Two mistakes. Number one, sometimes, I know this isn't any of us in here, but sometimes we'll try to live an obedient lifestyle because we know we're going to get something out of that. We don't obey God's word and His will and His way so we can get blessings, okay? But the Bible's crystal clear now. This is not some prosperity preaching. It's clear. If you obey God and live in obedience, He will bless you. But we don't obey God to get the blessings. We obey God because we love Him and we desire to give Him glory. Come on, y'all, say amen. And then number two, the second mistake we make, I think, and this isn't any health and wealth gospel, this isn't any prosperity preaching, but the second mistake we make about blessings coming from obedience is simply this. We don't measure all of God's blessing through financial prosperity. And we don't measure God's financial, we don't measure God's blessings through peaceful circumstances or good health. Y'all with me? So don't make either one of those two mistakes today with this message. But I want to talk to you this morning about the blessing of obedience. Obeying God. And when we're walking in obedience, you know what that does? Ooh, that opens up the windows of heaven so that God can pour out blessing after blessing in your life and your family. How many of y'all want to be blessed today? Well, we got to talk about obedience then, all right? Let's listen in as Haggai preaches the third message here to the people of God. Look at verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, now this is the month of Kislev on the Jewish calendar from November to December, okay? In the second year of Darius, he's the king of Persia, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. First of all, God bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, authoritative word today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Now, first of all, God's people wanted to be blessed. They wanted to be blessed. There's the blessing they wanted. Okay? That's the first truth that's being taught here. And for 16 years, they had lived in a disobedient lifestyle. God brought them home in order to rebuild the temple for the purpose of worship. Okay? And they had kind of, they finished the building of the altar and they finished the foundation of the new temple. But work on the temple had ceased and had been dormant for 16 years. And so Haggai's third message involved, first of all, the priests. And he calls for them to come forward and he asks them two questions. And the first question deals with, the priests wore these priestly garments. And when they had a sacrificial service, they would put some holy meat in the fold of one of those garments. Now, the reason it was called holy meat is because that meat had been dedicated and consecrated to the Lord God for the purpose of sacrifice. And the question is, should that holy meat touch or come in contact with something else? Would it become holy? And of course, the answer was what? No. The priest said no. The second question has to do with an unclean person, someone who had touched a dead body. And the second question said, should an unclean person come in contact or touch a clean person, would they become unclean? And the answer is, okay, here's the lesson. Here's what's being taught. You cannot transmit or transfer holiness through contact and touching someone else. How many of you would say amen? Amen. I wish that were the case. It's not the case. But this one's even bigger. An unclean person cannot come in contact or touch someone else, or can touch someone else and transmit uncleanness and or unholiness. Let me put it like this. We've learned this through COVID. We wear these masks. We put these gloves on. We're washing our hands. We're doing all this stuff. Why? Because we don't want to catch COVID, right? And so it is possible for someone who's sick to pass that infection and that contamination on to somebody who's not sick. Look at your neighbor and say, are you sick? I never know how y'all are going to react, ever. You understand the truth that's being taught here? And it is possible. While you can't pass holiness along to someone else, you can pass unholiness along to someone else. You're unclean. And I don't know why this is, Billy, but it does seem like that bad behavior and wicked attitudes and judgmental spirits and all that stuff is more contagious today than goodness and holiness. Are y'all with me now? How many of you remember the old saying, one bad apple? I think Michael Jackson sang a song about that or something. But that's right, isn't it? As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, bad behavior corrupts good morals or good character. And so if we're not really careful, the way we live our life is going to affect somebody else, for good or bad. Now, that's as long as I'm going to chase that rabbit right here. But what's being taught, what Haggai wants the people of God to know, is that for the last 16 years, they've been living a disobedient lifestyle. And because of that, God had to withdraw His blessing. That's what's going on here. Look at verse 14. He makes it clear. Look at verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. And watch this, listen to this, lean in, and what they offer there is unclean. For the last 16 years, these dear people wanted the blessing of God, but they're living in disobedience to what God had called them to do. And they had finished the foundation of the temple, and they'd even built an altar. And so for the last 16 years, they've been bringing their sacrifices to the altar. And God's telling them, you're unclean. Everything you touch is unclean. And the offerings that you bring are unacceptable because you're in sin. That is a great word for the church today. We need to understand God expects us to be different. We're to be different from the way the world lives. And we're not to be nerds or weird or anything like that, but we're to be different. And that difference is spelled out holiness. Holy. We're to be holy. And so for 16 years, the people of God had been living in disobedience. And God said, you can keep bringing those offerings, but I don't accept them. And I know most of you all. And I think most of you here want to live a prosperous life for God's glory. I think most of you here want to live a successful life and you want to make a difference. I think most of you here want to see have influence over your neighbors and your co-workers and all of that stuff. Well, I just come here to tell you, it's real simple. Just be obedient to what God's Word tells you to do. Anybody with me? Say that word obedience with me. Obedience. Say it again. Obedience. Say it one more time. Obedience. All right. That's what we want. Right? So that's what the people of God wanted, but because of sin and disobedience, they were not only not getting the blessings, they were getting some bad stuff from guess who? God. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I am sick and tired of the messages that are being preached all across this country that our God is just a lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey kind of God. Yes, He's a God of love. Bible says God is love, but there is another side to God. He is holy and He's righteous, and when we sin, His wrath comes upon us. Why? Because of what sin does to us. Hello? And so, they wanted to be blessed, but they couldn't be blessed because they were being disobedient. Here's the second thing. God's blessings were being withheld. Watch this. Verse 15. And now carefully consider. Now this is the third time that Haggai, over there in his first sermon, he asked them twice, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Turn around and look. Look what's going on. Check it out. Consider your ways. Are you with me? And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days, he's talking here now about the last 16 years, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail. Who did that? You understand where I'm coming from? And God has not changed. He's still the same. In all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. The blessings of God had been withheld. Because, and I've said this and I'm going to keep saying it, because of disobedience. Now, this is probably going to wreck some of your theology. But I want to tell you, God will do whatever He needs to do to get us back on track. He will. He'll do whatever He's got to do to get us to turn to Him. And here's what He had done with them for the last 16 years. They were more focused on their priorities and getting their stuff done and their houses built, blah, 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 rather than what God's priority was. And so, you know, and by the way, this is during one of the great harvest festivals of Israel. This is the winter harvest. And not only had God diminished the harvest times in Israel, but he had even destroyed the harvest through drought, hailstones, wind, burning hot wind. And even the grain that was there, he sent mildew on it and ruined it. How many of you know why you don't want to cut hay when the rain is in the forecast? I know one of them barnets is in here. Somebody tell me why. All right, it'll mold. Same stuff here, what we're talking about. Okay, y'all with me? And so he said, just consider your ways. Just look around. Just turn back. Look at what's going on. He said, man, you come to a harvest, and what you can normally expect out of this much would be 20 measures of grain. Well, that had turned into 10. And the fruit trees and the grapevines. Said, normally you could expect 50 vats or 50 bottles, if you will, of wine. And that had turned into 20. And even that which remained, God had even destroyed it. Wow. Why did he do all that? Did you catch it? It's right there. He said, they did not turn to me. The reason God sent all of these bad things and bad experiences and drought and hail was so that the people of God might turn back to him. And their priorities would be his priority. That's why he sent it. But sometimes, you know, judgment, my brothers and sisters, rather than producing repentance, people's hearts get harder and harder and harder. And I sit here as I was reading this and studying this week, Billy. Oh God, you have been trying to get our attention. You have sent one thing after the next. Do y'all remember 9/11? That's 21 years ago. Can you believe that? These young folks don't even know anything about it. But I remember when 3,000 Americans were killed in that attack. I mean, the church house filled up. You remember that? For about 3 months. And then everything kind of got back. You know what that was? That was a patriotic revival, not a spiritual revival. And so God tries to get our attention from time to time so that we will turn back to him. Why do you think these mass killings and mass shootings in our country, aren't they awful? All of the injustices that have happened over the last few years, all of the bad things that have come our way, why? Is anybody asking why? If there is anybody that should ask why, it ought to be the church. God, why are you allowing this? Because if he's really God, he could stop all this bad stuff. Well, he's not going to stop it. As a matter of fact, he's probably sent some of it so that we might turn back to him. So those blessings had been with us. So I want to ask you just do a little... Just real quickly, do a little self-examination right now of your life and your family. What's going on? I'm not saying every bad thing that happens is the result of sin. Sometimes just the world that we live in. But what's going on in your life? What's happening? Now ask why. Why am I having to go through what I'm having to go through? Now, I can't answer that, but I can tell you who can. Sometimes God withholds our blessings when we've got unrepented, unconfessed sin in our life. in order to get us back. The Bible's crystal clear. If we will turn to Him, He's already turned to us. If we'll return to Him, He's already returning to us. Here's the final, here's the third bullet point in Haggai's message. Watch this. Verse 18. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. For 3 months now, the Israelites, the Jews, had gotten back on track. They'd repented of their disobedience, and they're rebuilding the temple. They're doing what God's told them to do. And yet nothing had changed. No miracle had come. There was no winter harvest, and they didn't understand why. Sometimes, now hang in with me. I promise you, I'm not going to leave you beat up and bruised and bleeding, okay? It's going to get good here in just a minute, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, it's coming. All right. Here's the deal. Sometimes, most times as a matter of fact, when we're in sin and God gets our attention and we're in disobedience and we confess our sin and we forsake our sin and we turn from our sin and don't go back there again, we get immediate forgiveness. That happens all the time. 100% of the time when we're right, and we've got a contrite spirit, and we ask God, we humble ourselves before God, and we say, God, I've blown it again. Here I am in need of forgiveness. And God immediately forgives. As a matter of fact, 1 John 1:9 is the most worn out verse in my Bible. All right? If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But while we receive forgiveness, sometimes the consequences for that sin linger for a little while. That's what's going on with them. God really wanted them to think and consider what they had done so that they would not go back. For instance, I know some brothers who were spent their life getting drunk. Alcoholism. And those guys have repented of that, and they hadn't gone back to drinking, but you know what? Several of them have a damaged liver. God will save somebody out of a really promiscuous lifestyle, and He'll forgive them of that. But you may have to deal with a diseased body. Sometimes, you know, we'll get caught red-handed, and we'll commit some crime. We'll plead with God to forgive us, and He'll forgive you. But don't do the crime if you can't pay the time. And you may have to spend some time in jail. There are consequences for our choices and our disobedience. And sometimes they linger on for a while. I know what I'm talking about, y'all, because I was right there several years ago. Now, here's the good news. Even though we've been forgiven and things are not good, you know what God does? He supplies grace to put up with the tough stuff. I think about King David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband, had him murdered. Did God forgive David? Yes. But for the rest of his life, David had hell going on in his family. His sons broke his heart. One of his boys tried to kill him and take the throne. But you know what? Even in the midst of all that terrible stuff that was going, God had forgiven him. And in those experiences, David wrote some of the greatest, most helpful, spirit-filled psalms in all of the Scriptures. God will give you grace. He'll give you grace, even if the consequences for your disobedient choices linger. He'll get you through. Now, I want to say this. The scripture says in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We're going to have an offering here in just a few minutes. And if you want God to receive your offering in the right way and use it for His glory, get rid of that unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. And God will do a work. I know what I'm talking about, y'all. But watch this now. Watch this. I told you you were going to go home blessed. Look at the last part of verse 19. Everybody. Last part of verse 19. "But from this day," what does he say? "From this day," what did he say? That was an ironclad guarantee from God that He was going to bless His people. Evidently, there would be some type of winter harvest. There would be some type of resources to come along and help them. But I'm going to tell you, if God gives you a promise, you can take it to the bank. Whew. "I will bless you from this day forward." You know what He did? And He will. I believe this is so similarly to the promise that God made to Solomon when he dedicated that first temple. You remember that promise? Solomon had been praying all night. "God, what have we got to do to stay in your good graces? If we fall into sin, what do we need to do? God, if you send pestilence and you send all this stuff, the locusts come, what do we need to do? Here in this house, what do we need to do?" And God answered that dedicatory prayer of Solomon. He said, "If my people who are called by my name," here it is, "shall humble themselves." Humble. When's the last time you really got humble before God? And pray. And seek my face. That's what prayer is seeking the face of God. When's the last time we really got serious and humbled ourselves before God and prayed, went after His presence with everything that we've got? And then here's the one we don't even want to go to, and turn from their wicked ways. Did you know Jeremiah 17:9 says that "my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked"? Turn from our wicked ways. That's the New Testament word for repent. Metanoia. Same promise. And then, what does God say? If you'll do those things, what will God do? "I will hear from heaven." Wouldn't it be great to have God hear from heaven what you're crying out for? "I will forgive their sin." Glory to God. How many of you have been forgiven of sin? Whoo! "And I will heal your land." There it is. Same promise. "I'll bless you if you'll do what I'm telling you to do." Well, it's 10 o'clock and I've got to wrap this up. You know, the Holy Spirit stops around 10 here. You obviously saw Tuesday night what happens when the Holy Spirit gets in control. It might go on all night. I'd wear some, you know, well. My mind went back, and I've shared this with y'all before, and I'm not going to get into all of it. But man, this passage speaks loudly to me. For 5 years of my life, I was living in direct disobedience of God's word. I knew it. God knew it. My family knew it. That's why I hated to go to church, because my mom and dad had everybody and their dog praying for me. Do you know what? I'd go to bed at night and knew that I was living wrong. Knew it. And I'd try to pray, and I'd just have to give up because I was so guilt-ridden. But you know what God did? He sent a drought in my life. He sent hailstones that wore down the fruit in my life. And there wasn't any blessing at all. And finally, after about 5 years of that, Carol, I couldn't even decide in the morning, do I want oatmeal or Cheerios? I couldn't make any decision about anything. I was messed up, depressed, tore up. And my mama had been praying for me all of those years. Joel 2:25, that God would restore the years the locusts had eaten. And after I lost just about everything that I owned to my name, I had to move back home as a 25-year-old man. I'd been gone for quite some time. And in my upstairs old bedroom, I've told you all this before, I got right with God. I soaked the carpet with my tears. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. And I wouldn't blame you if you threw me on the backside of the desert and put me in a drawer somewhere and never, no one ever heard from me again. I wouldn't blame you. But God, I want to turn from my sin. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I'm ready to be used if you ever want to use me again. And I was there about 8 months at my dad and mom's. And during that time, God gave me a good job. I got engaged to this gorgeous thing right here. Can y'all believe she said yes to all that? She was so loyal to me even when I was living a life that was awful. And we got plugged into church before we got married. We were going to a couples class. And little by little, God began to restore the years the locusts had eaten. And I stand here today to tell you, I am a blessed man. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed every which way I turn. And it ain't because I'm such a good guy. It's because we serve a great God. Amen. And if we will get obedient to Him, there isn't anything that He will not do. It's decision time. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the privilege of just being able to call you my Heavenly Father. I don't know who I'm speaking to here today, but it really doesn't matter because, Father, you've spoken to us. Your word. And maybe there's somebody here who's in a disobedient lifestyle, like I was, following after the things of the world. God, would you prick our hearts? Would you do what only you can do? Clean up Second Mile Church this morning. Clean us up. Oh, not that we're nasty, filthy, dirty garbage, but God, all of us from time to time fall into sin. And the recipe for revival is repentance and turning to you in obedience. Maybe there's something somebody should have done. You called them to do something, and it still hadn't gotten done. I believe there's somebody here this morning, Father, you're calling to a full-time ministry at some point in time in the future. And they haven't answered that call. Or maybe there's somebody here that you're calling out as a missionary, and they haven't stepped forward. Or maybe there's somebody here that's supposed to teach the Word of God. Or maybe there's somebody here, God, that's supposed to serve in one of our ministry teams. And so far, they haven't stepped up. Oh, God, don't let us sit here today in disobedience. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's your time. It is your time. From Call Masters all the way over here to Betty Barnett, this is your time. This is an old-fashioned altar. And you can come and get right with God today. Let's all stand as Andrew leads us, and you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.